Joining us now on the line, very pleased to have this next guest. You represents you guys in the Alabama Senate and our northern listening audience, State Senator Greg Allbritton. Good morning, Senator. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for making time for us this morning. We always appreciate it.
Easy to do, especially when it's cold outside.
That's not too bad, but point taken. Senator, let's get right into it. First off, Governor Ivey, I saw your comments to Alabama Daily News, but Governor Ivey using her emergency authority, looks like she's extending some tax benefits for economic development and also going to waive, at least for the time being, the liability on CARES Act funds. What do you think of those moves?
Well, they're very helpful to the people that have had to receive some of those benefits. I have no real issue. If bills came up, I'd vote for those particular bills. Yeah, I'd vote for those. My concern is using her emergency powers. This is a transfer of legislative power to the executive, and that makes me very uncomfortable.
Yeah, and I guess, does it stop here? There's no way of knowing what the next quote-unquote emergency might be, but, you know, is it possible that we could see even more use of that legal reasoning?
Well, it depends on how the whole COVID is whipped or what else comes along. Right now, the year 2020 has set a precedent of having fear control our lives almost completely. And when you have the fear that's governing, then you're going to put the power in one hand, and then you're on a road that concerns me.
Well, tell me this. Part of that fear, I would think, would come from within the legislature, that a lot of members on both sides of the aisle are really worried about. If you guys, when you guys finally do gavel in February, that this still a risky situation. What do you think? I mean, do you think there's going to be some kind of provisions made to make it safer?
There are plans now being made to alleviate some of those concerns. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I guess because it's hit your body, the Senate, particularly hard, but that's been the justification, if you will, for let's hold off on a special session and let's just make do with what we can.
Well, how can I argue with that? You know, we've got to do our job, though. We can't just sit back and wait for somebody else to fix the problem before we begin to start coming back into doing our jobs. We've got to find a way to do the job. And that's what I'm pushing for.
I mean, it does seem like you could maybe find a bigger room or something. I don't know, but
you would think so.
It just seems like that would be in the realm of possibilities. But and I know you guys took a lot of grief for this, probably certainly unfairly, I think, at the end of this last session, but is it time to start having those discussions about doing something with a new state house or doing something to where you don't have these problems in the future?
That's kind of where we were thinking when we put that in last spring. But evidently, the executive is against that, and so is the press. So I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Even beyond the use of CARES Act money, it doesn't seem like that's even in the realm of possibilities, you think?
And that's not even in a discussion matter that I know of.
Well, I guess it sort of is what it is, but it does seem the public
construction,
right,
of any facility, it can be discussed except for legislative matters, and I'm only speaking that because that's the politics of it.
Right, because you know we've heard a lot of outcry that, you know, if this next session is closed to the public, well, you know, I would assume part of that reason is because of the old highway, the building that uses the Alabama State House now. So, well.
So, you know, it is what it is. That's where we are. And I do not see an easy solution out of this yet.
Well, maybe people will come around, but who knows? Let's move on to some other things. Next up, the prisons. I guess the DOJ has decided that they got tired of waiting around, and they've gone ahead and sued the state of Alabama. Well, it's not the first time, right? Any reaction to that? Do you think that this could have been avoided had you guys had an opportunity to vote on something?
Look, we are. I am disappointed. Okay, we were planning on having meetings with them, continued negotiations and meetings with them. They gave us no heads up on this. They just filed the suit on one evening. The very next day was scheduled a meeting for negotiations. I don't know what the impetus was on that. All I can tell you is that we have spent hundreds of millions of dollars. We have spent a great deal of time and legislative effort and executive effort, and none of that seems to matter. We have a plan the governor's working on for construction plan. That doesn't seem to matter. It seems to be telling the state of Alabama that no matter what we do, you're not going to satisfy DOJ. So if there's no way to satisfy them, where do we go from there?
Well, that's true, but you know, and you've been in that body. You've taken a couple of stabs at this. Was there any reason to believe, had COVID not come along, that maybe things would be a little bit different today?
No.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, plainly said, I you know, because whenever we would have Cam Ward or somebody like that come on, they would say, well, you know, the DOJ knows we're dealing with COVID, or they know that we're working on it, and then all of a sudden this has sprung on us. But weren't they aware of the circumstances?
Of course they're aware of the circumstances. They've been told this. In fact, I wasn't a part of some of this, so maybe this is hearsay, but we're not in court. But the aspect is that they've been told about what we've been doing. They've been told about what our plans were. And they're aware of what we're doing. It just doesn't matter to them.
Well, and I guess it'll play out in a court of law now. But does that concern you? I mean, you know, like all of a sudden the state could be on the hook for untold amount of money to get to do what the federal government thinks is the right thing.
Of course, it concerns me.
Well,
what we're trying to accomplish is not trying to do what the feds think is right. We're trying to do what is clearly obvious that we need to do. We have proposed nothing that isn't necessary. We've got to have new facilities. We've got to build some somehow. And while the governor's plan and is not the best in the world, it's the only one out there and the quickest one we can get done. So, and in the point that we've had at least two of the facilities that shut down lately, in the last year or so, we are having a significant housing difficulty. All that is beside COVID. All that was existing before COVID.
What about this aspect? It does sound like there's a lot of it is prison guard personnel issues. And it seems like you've doubled money over the last, you made that comment over the last 10 years or so.
Did I say that?
You mentioned it. Something along those lines. And but the problem persists. Is it just the nature of where these facilities are and getting people to work there? You don't exactly have a deep pool of talent to recruit from. I mean, how do you fix that?
I wish I had the answer to that. We have made those inquiries. We have made the visits. We have taken studies. I'm not sure what the answer is. But we have put monies into retention plans. We put money into bonus plans. We put money and transferred individuals so to raise the pay on the levels there. And we're still at a very low level of retention. Part of it is no one likes to live in a non-air-conditioned, unsafe, deteriorating facility, okay? That's a good part of it. And let's face it, they are working with people that are convicted felons and are dangerous people. That's another part of it. But I've made recommendations, I've made suggestions to personnel department, to the governor's office, to the DOC, and there hasn't been any improvement on this. So I'm not sure what the answer is. But we are now beginning to get reports that we've made demands of. Those are coming in now. Those started coming in last spring. And so we're able to track it better, but the tracking still is telling us what we already knew, that there's not any progress being made.
Joined by State Senator Greg Albritton here on the program. Senator, let's move on to never-ending annual discussion about gambling in the state of Alabama. Now, I know you took taking some shots at this, trying to get a lottery bill through. You got it through successfully in the Senate a couple of years ago. It just kind of died in the House. Sitting here today,
kind of died. A wooden stake was put through its heart,
just like a vampire. But yeah. Sitting here today, are you optimistic? I've heard from others say we're closer than we've ever been before, but I'm always we'll wait and see, I guess.
That's kind of the tack I'm taking. Gaming is a major issue in the state. There's a major issue nationwide. We've got to get control of this industry. As a state, we have to control it. And when we control it, then we can tax it. And right now, we're not able to tax it. We're not able to control it, really. And so it's a wild west out there. A lot of people have got their hands in the pie. And there's been several steps at trying to resolve this issue on a unified omnibus thing, but it's failed. We can't even do it piecemeal because each piece becomes the catalyst for everybody else. So it's a difficult nut to crack. I know lots of people are working on it. And, yes, we'll have another 4, 5, 6 gaming bills dropped before February 5th. But I don't know how or what, if anything, will pass.
Well, the governor's task force is supposed to issue a report here shortly. Is there anything to be gleaned from that?
I hope so. But as I've said, this thing has been discussed and looked at upside down, right side up, and everywhere. I don't know that this body is going to give us anything new. So even if they were to provide something new or different, we still got to get the votes for it.
Well, is it, I mean, the opposition to it, is it just that we would, the possibility of making gambling illegal instead of having games of chance, you'd have games of, I mean, instead of just games
no.
of skill, you'd have games of
no.
chance?
No, it's not that, Joe. There's not really opposition to it. You can't find really very many people that are opposed to some type of gaming, all right? The problem is that everybody is greedy. And no matter how much is out there on the table, they want more of it for them.
And does that mean, but that is the hang-up, that if we make gambling illegal, then somebody else will have something we don't have, and I'm referring to the Poarch Creeks. Could they have their own lottery, for example?
Well, that's part of it, but it's also the Greene County has about 3 different entities that's involved with this. We have a facility or 2 in Lowndes County that's involved, and I know several other entities want to be engaged and involved in it. And want their own little funding source. So PCI gets the blame on a lot of this because they're the elephant in the room, I guess. But everybody wants more of the pie. And some of them want to take out of the hide, that elephant hide, of PCI. And that's kind of where I got involved with it, is, you know, we can't do any harm. We're trying our best not to do harm to anybody. But we are trying to find the path that we can somewhat satisfy the majority.
Senator, we're out of time here, but I really want to thank you for coming on, and let's do this again real soon.
Oh, well, I'm always here. I don't do anything but talk to you, Jeff.
Well, I appreciate that, man. Have a Merry Christmas if we don't speak again.
You too. Merry Christmas to you and all your listeners.
Say Senator Greg Allbritton, ladies and gentlemen.